It is good to see everyone here this morning. I appreciate your attendance. This morning's lesson, and Mark led some great songs, I feel like helped introduce this a little bit. I have been working, at least in my mind, on how to deal with real life issues, personal issues even at times. And the reality is, in our lives, people like Jason Grimstead, remember him? Maybe you got a chance to meet him. He attended services one time here. He was a young man. He was like 48. And he happened to live right behind the church building, if you don't know the story. In May of last year, maybe late April, he was a drug addict. He had some serious drug problem. And he ended up in the hospital, having to be resuscitated numerous times, what I understood. And in the end, they had a medication that he was able to stay on. It kept his heart and allowed his heart to keep beating. But the reality is, addiction destroyed him. I have two friends in Idaho, one very close, struggled with addiction. One of them is still bouncing along the bottom, as it were, as you call it, maybe. He has struggled for years, and he may struggle the rest of his life. I don't know. Another one conquered. And I've had conversation with them, and it seems like everywhere I go, this problem in our society of addiction. We are a society of indulgence, right? We talk about how Jesus lived, how people lived. We have it comfortable. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to give up my air conditioning. I don't like to sweat. We have indulgences. We do. I had one donut today and had two donuts yesterday. I tried to work them off, but I did. You know why? Because they taste good. Right? Addiction and our topic today, depression, operate in the same plane. They're along the same lines. They're the same core in our body. The same things trigger both of those or are affected by both of them. Whether you are addicted to meth or suffering the worst depression, you're in the same plane. And it is something that I've only been able to realize how it's all connected more so. I'm not a doctor. But everything that I'm learning about it, I'm like, yeah, I see that. I've lived part of that. And I know it. When there's a gentleman I have to give straight up, I reverse engineered this. So I took people who were experts in pharmacology and psychology, physiology, and the doctors of this world who were atheists taught us unknowingly how to handle depression and addiction. And they taught it from the Bible. They didn't know it. And that's what I've been able to what I did was reverse engineered it. I said, oh, that is what we've been taught. And they even admit people with particular addiction, they say it's hard to find anybody who has recovered from addiction that didn't do it through religion. Hard to find anybody who has recovered from addiction that has not recovered through religion. They haven't personally, they did not choose to go that route as of yet. But they recognize there's something about what we do that matters, that helps us in this life. And our mood and motivation, whether it's on the addiction side where you're driven for that good mood and you're highly motivated, exceptionally motivated even. You know, you ever heard the stories about the guys who pick a car up in a moment of extreme stress? That's adrenaline. That is what that same realm of addiction. That high, as it were. But you're able to command that. God made our body to respond that way. Same way, if you don't have any of that, you're depressed. One of the professors in particular gave this scenario. He was in the hospital one time for giardia. I don't know if you've heard of that before. It's One of those parasites you can get out if you drink water from places that are not good. And they gave him a drug to help counteract the effects of Giardia, and it sent him into a depression. Basically, the words I'm going to use of the chemicals in our bodies are dopamine, in particular, are adrenaline. It basically just sucked all that up. Said it left him crying, uncontrollably crying. That one medication. They said, you've got to do something. Get dopamine. Okay, now. This same body chemical and all these things are affected together. Whether we're talking about depression or whether we're talking about addiction, we're all talking about, we're on the same highway. We're just different places. And what I want to do today is I want to show you from Scripture the things for us to have a lifestyle that is functional. Because we're all going to be on, and we're going to talk about this, we're all going to be on this depressed side. We have. Probably every one of us in here, if we've lived very long, have experienced things that just lead us to depression. And you know, maybe some days it's just a matter of fact, like I like to sit and watch football Saturday mornings. More so used to, not so much anymore. Don't like it because once I get sit in that chair, you get rooted, don't you? You ever get in that chair and like, yeah, I got work to do, but this is on TV, you're stuck. That's a type of depression. You're not motivated to get up. That's the same thing. It's a motivation. I have no motivation to get up. I'm content watching these guys bust heads all day long. They one after another, after another, after another, and by the next thing you know, it's a few naps and a lot of chips and food, and it's time to go to bed, right? Let's talk through this, and bear with me. You may I'm sure you may have different responses, but I want you to consider there's things here, because there is a comment. Today's lesson is focusing on depression, on the negative side of it. But depression, addiction, they're on the same highway, just different places. There is that common denominator. And it is our dopamine system, our adrenaline system. What drives us and motivates us. Another story, Andrew Huberman, if you want to, this is a podcast, there's hours of podcast, at least he's got at least 5 or 8 hours of it. There were some people in California, they were manufacturing illicit drugs, ones that, you know, published, and they messed it up. Imagine that, no FDA, of course, right? This drug killed their dopamine system, eradicated it. Not just eliminated the free dopamine, it eliminated the ability of their bodies to produce dopamine, and they showed up in the hospital zombies. They couldn't move. They wouldn't move. They couldn't talk. They couldn't move their eyelids. That's that movement part. Movement, motivation, whether it's the high end of it or the depressed end where you're just crying uncontrollably. Uncontrollable crying. So what do we do with it? Is there answers to this? And there are answers. And I want to show you, at least as best I can today, show you answers from what I believe Scripture teaches us to how we have a functional life. And you're going to see that, guess what? We're not the only ones that struggle in life. I should back up. So I do print these out. I'm going to flip through some slides today. So in the back, if you didn't get them free, please go ahead and get those. The slides, the outline is printed out on back for you, and I encourage you to take that because there are a lot of slides here that I'm just going to step through some, and it's really, I'm not spending a lot of time on it because I want to make some points at a really high level and move on. But if you don't have one, feel free to get up, please. And I hope Charlie can stay with me today, or maybe he goes to sleep. Either way. I apologize in advance. That's don't provoke him. I apologize in advance. I want to go through this, though, because I want to get to the end of this. Because next week, today we're going to talk about depression. Next week I'm going to talk about addiction. Because I guess in the big picture, I don't know why, it has intrigued me, interested me, in this desire to help people who struggle with addiction. And in the end, I stumbled upon this depression piece. Because we are a nation driven by indulgence, which means we want to feel good, and we will do whatever we need to feel good. And don't get me wrong, I've got air conditioning. I'm not giving up air conditioning. I'm not going to take the fan away from Brenda. We could turn the air conditioner a little colder, but then I know Mary Jo's going to be upset. She'll get her jacket on that's got the battery in it to keep her warm. We kept it too cold in here. And then I just don't know what to say about Maddie. She has a different thermostat than all of us. David dealt with depression. Here in 1 Samuel 30 and 4, he wept till he had no power to weep. You ever cried till you couldn't cry anymore? That's an ugly place, isn't it? He went there. The King David, he went there. Psalms 42 and 43, if you look at them together, it's, again, we're not going to read these. This expression of trouble, sorrow, despondency, depression. And then he appeals to God. Why should he be cast down? Exhorting himself to put, I need to put my trust in God, but he's in this hole. What do I do? And David was in a lot of those holes. Some of them self-inflicted. Some of them were outside forces, right? He was in holes. King Saul, he's the classic. Some of the things, the one website calls him the psychotic king, who drove himself insane. You know, when you look at the stories of King Saul, David would play a harp to make him feel better. Remember that, by the way. We're going to come back to that. David would play a harp, music, to make him feel better, King Saul. And then King Saul wants to kill him. David conquers the Philistines, gives King Saul an opportunity to conquer the Philistines, and Saul wants to kill David. Well, that's what you do to your allies, ain't it? David's helping you out. You want to kill him. His hero, even a way of putting it. That Saul uses music therapy. Wait a minute, we sang together this morning, didn't we? We're going to come back to that. It's important. Solomon, the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon was depressed. You read the book of Ecclesiastes, he understood the monotony of life. You do all this stuff, and you know what? The sun's going to come up again tomorrow. It's going to come up again tomorrow. And it rains over here, it runs down the river, and it goes right back where it starts into this perpetual motion of this world. It's insanity. And he's like, what's the point? He's looking for all this. And you want to talk about someone who deviled in addiction. Solomon had how many wives and concubines and children? These weren't just people in houses that lived in his city. He had children through so many of these. I can't remember the number. I probably should, right? Job, my soul is poured out. I'm already staying a lot longer than I meant to. Jeremiah, he wrote a whole book about Lamentations. Was Paul depressed? Oh, Paul wasn't depressed. The mighty man Paul? Was he depressed? 2 Corinthians 7, he says, without were fightings, within fears, nevertheless God, it comforts those who are cast down. The King James says, basically that is he's those that are depressed through circumstances, not just the humble. We're not talking about someone who's just humble in nature. We're talking about someone who's beat down. Fightings, troubled on every side, fears, anxious and depressed, dejected, dispirited. Paul suffered from it. Paul struggled with a state of, on some level, of depression in that moment. The devout Jew from our scripture reading this morning really, to set this up, it really is based on a lot of our studies we've done. The Jewish hierarchy, the clergy, if you call it that, they oppress the people. Can you imagine being in a religion where all those who were prominent, preeminent, just put their thumb on you and just rubbed you in the dirt and just made you do hard things, and they just didn't care, and they lived it up, and they was high and mighty. Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are fatigued and overburdened. In Matthew 24 says the Pharisees and scribes, the clergy of their day, they bind heavy burdens on people that were grievous burdens, and they lay them on other people's shoulders. Do you think the devout Jew was depressed from that? How would you feel if you had a preeminent structure you was in, they just looked down on you, and they just did downcast to you all the time, and you were a sinner, and you were horrible, and you know, get your life right and just kick you around. How would you feel in a religion like that? That was their religion. That was Jesus' answer. Come unto me. That was the devout Jew who truly believed in God, who was righteous, who was benevolent, who was gracious, who cared for their brethren, And one of the they lived in a tough culture. And Jesus offered the solutions. Come unto me, he says. So they were burdened by a malicious religion, basically. Maybe we word it that way, right? I could be depressed in that, couldn't you? I certainly wouldn't excel. Would you excel in a religion, a malicious religion like that? Would you excel? No. I wouldn't. So, when we're talking about depression, just minimally, tired, sleepy, stressed out, bad days, lack of motivation, disappointment, struggles, that is a depressed state. You know what? It may not be clinical. I may not go sign up for therapy for that, but that's depression. When I'm sitting on the couch and don't want to get up, that's depression. I'm not motivated. A depressed motivation. Well, I may not be in a hole. Maybe I am a hole, right? Then there's this idea of repeated dives into misery, despondent, question or lacking self-worth, those kind of things. Those happen, don't they? They happen. They happen in our world. They may happen to us. So I want to take our time. First of all, let's talk about some sources and causes. And this really, this kind of, I don't know if I question how I organize the lesson, because if you figure out a cause of depression or cause of what bringing you down, well, there's a lesson for us there. So this is really a lesson. But so think about some of the sources of causes. One of them that our world completely bypasses, in somewhat in the indulgence realm, but also just in a misdirected realm. We're living by the wrong lifestyle kind of direction. The works of the flesh. It's also called carnal. It's the physical. It's that self-indulgence, but, you know, actually, we have food, so God didn't intend us not to indulge at all. And we're going to deal with that, because all this fits on that table of when we talk about depression and addiction. It's being in that functional level. There is a functional area we're going to talk about. This is outside the functional area. Okay? So in Galatians 5, 19 through 21, it lists those sins of intimacy. Also lists idolatry and revelry. Well, you ever seen a street party? Revelry? You know what? Those are living on the addiction realm. The revelry, their dopamine's way up here. You ever been to a concert? I kind of like Garth Brooks. He had a Working Man concert. We actually went to that. That was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. You know, he's got friends in low places. I'm there. I'm a low place. Right? Revelry, you're working up that scale, right? But God says these are outside the realm of our functional life that we should live here. We get outside of this and bad things happen. Some of these we might could say, yeah, I know why that's bad, or I might know why that's good. Well, in this case, they're all bad. I might understand it. I may not understand it. But God said that's where they're at. And so there is a place, in this case, there is a place for intimacy. There's no place for idolatry, and there's no place, God said revelry's not for the Christian. It's not our lifestyle. And there are circumstances associated with these that lead to depression. Okay, so if you just trust God, you disciple Jesus, put these away, there's a burden on our system that's outside our functional area we operate in. Then there's a dysfunctional relationship. And for the most part, all of these drive us into depression. For the most part. Now, granted, you can take hatred and use that to excel. You can take envy and jealousy and use that to excel in life. And I'll just qualify the fact that in the end, God said, no, these are not good, so don't use these for motivation. That's not good motivation. But don't these things also lead us to being depressed? You have animosity towards someone? You ever sit and ruminate over somebody who's done something wrong to you? Or somebody's made you jealous in some way, and you sit and just ruminate over it. You stew over it. You just think about it. You can't get it out of your head, can you? And you just keep digging that hole. And you keep digging that hole deeper. And it don't get no better until you quit. Or like a friend told me, till the walls cave in and finally you climb out. These are, though some people can thrive off of these also lead to depression. God said that's not in our functional relationship. God said these don't work for us humans. get rid of them, put them away. And so we're going to follow up because these also tie in to addiction there. So, and then how do we respond to trials? You got something difficult going on. Anxiety's high. Man, I kind of like that. It goes a long ways. Do you have ice cream? You got comfort food, right? Comfort food makes you feel good, don't it? Cup of coffee. All those things give us energy. All those things make us motivated. Give us in a good mood. That's all dopamine. Right? So anxiety. How do we deal with anxiety? Don't be prayerful but anxious. So I'm tying back the lessons that we've already done, and I'm going to do this through the whole lesson. So this whole lesson obviously spans out to a bunch of stuff that we've talked about and studied that builds up to this. Don't be anxious. Don't let anxiety pull you down, because it can't it? It puts you in a hole. It can put you in a deep hole. Be prayerful. Give it to God. And again, this is where those doctors are like, you know, there's something about the fact of disconnecting yourself from a problem, just turning it over, saying, I can't solve this, I can't fix this, maybe it's not mine. Whatever the case may be, give it to God. They fully admit they're atheistic, they're evolutionary, they think we just evolved, but then they admit there's something about giving this turning our problems over to God. Come on, come with us. You know, convert. And then Matthew 6. Don't be anxious, but trusting. Trust in God. Right? Trust in God. Trust in Him. And then Matthew 6 talks about the birds of the air and the grass of the field. How much more? I want to read part of that one. In Matthew 6. Because anxiety is a... When we're anxious, we're troubled over something, whatever it is, that's going to affect our mood and emotions. That's going to depress us. We'll get depressed over this anxiety. Whatever bothers us, it'll pound us in the ground, as it were, right? Matthew 6, and I want to read let's go ahead and start verse 25. For this reason I say, don't be worried about your life. What you're going to eat or what you're going to drink. Don't be anxious over these things. Don't worry about what you're going to put on. Is life not more than food and body more than clothes? Are we just made to eat and wear clothes? Is that our whole purpose? Is what Matthew is writing about. Jesus is speaking here actually. Matthew records Jesus saying this. Look at the birds. They don't sow a field, they don't gather grain, yet your Father feeds them, your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? If you being worried can add a single hour, who can add a single hour to his life by worrying? Actually, I think they've proven it takes away life, right? And who, you worry about clothes, do you not see the lilies of the field? They don't toil or spin. Yet they're not even Solomon in all his glory was clothed like one of the flowers of the field. There's some majesty and beauty in a flower, isn't there? In the creation as you look at what's growing. If God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown in the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you little faith? Then don't worry about what you should eat, or what you should drink, or what we'll wear. Don't worry about this life. Don't have anxiety over life. In verse 33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all this be added unto you. Verse 33, so don't worry about tomorrow in verse 34. Don't be anxious, but trust in God. Trust in God. And this is where anxiety, we stew and ruminate and worry about something and just, you ever had something get in your head and you just can't get it out? How about that donut I ate yesterday? Y'all forgot about that? I have not forgot about that yet. I had one for breakfast. It's still good. Even sitting here thinking about it, I can have another one right now. What if it's something negative? What if it's something bad? What if it's something that bothers you? What if it's something that eats at you? It's not easy to quit, is it? It's stuck there. It just takes root, doesn't it? God says, let him have it. Let him have it. Don't worry about it. Worry, anxiety is not for us. It's one of those bad things, and it's something we live with. It's something around us. Sometimes we think we ought to be anxious over stuff. There are certain things, and we go back to that lesson of Philippians 4, there are things we should be concerned about. It's not the physical. And there's certain things we can't control. There's certain things we can't fix. There's certain things that's not our problem. I'm not going to preach that lesson again. I could, I guess, right? But give it to God. Let go of it. What about complaining? I was reminded this week at work, because I can complain. I don't complain near as much as I used to. Complaining is a sin. God says, no, don't complain. Complaining is on this negative end again. It's in this hole. You want to dig a hole and sit around and complain about things all day long. Again, it's about perspective. I complain about it being too hot and sweating. Right? Don't complain, but shine your light. Don't complain, as Philippians 2, 14 through 16. I'm sitting down at the break table this week, and a couple of guys just kept going off about, oh, this is bad, and that's bad, and they've done this, and they did that, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh, man, Kyle's going to take me away, right? That's that person. Get me out of here. Get me away from this. Is there not anything happy going on? Is anything good going on? I mean, things could be bad in life, but whether I got to work extra overtime or not, it's not one of them. Was that what the discussion was about? I could have got paid more, but I didn't. Boo-hoo me. And let's all go in and throw a tea party with me because I didn't get paid as much as I want to get paid today. Complaining. Put it away. It's not easy. It's not easy, but put it away. Philippians 2 and reference 14 through 16 there. Do all things without murmuring and complaining or disputing. Without complaining and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless without rebuke among a crooked and perverse generation, among whom shine as lights. Don't complain. Complaining is depressing. Complaining is negative. Complaining puts you in a hole. It leads you down a mental pathway of... How about a perspective of ourselves? Again, this is a lesson we gave a while back. Unique Christian's ability. Excel at your ability. Do good at your ability. Take pride in your ability. Think soberly about it. Not too highly, but also don't deface yourself. Don't demean yourself. Don't negative self-talk. Don't go there. Stay sober about it. And even keel. Again, unique Christian ability is Galatians 6, 2 through 5. Prove your own work and you can rejoice in yourself. The idea is, as we have the right perspective of yourself, of your self-worth, of your value. Prove your own work. Be able to evaluate yourself properly, not over-esteeming, but not demeaning either, right? And then we can rejoice in yourself. In other words, the idea there is being you don't need someone to praise you for what you did that was good. The idea is get to a point where you understand who you are, know your abilities, and go out and go and do. Not overinflated, not depressed either. Because we can talk ourselves down and berate ourselves and destroy ourselves and drive our own self, pound our own self in the dirt. How we think about ourselves. So, yes, depression in the Bible. Holy smokes, I'm not going to make near as bad a... I don't think. I'm not done, but we're very close. There was people depressed in the Bible. It happened. King David did. The glory of the Jew. King David. King Saul, the lunatic, basically in the end. King Solomon, the wisest man, had all that wisdom. Didn't ever learn how to use it, but he had it. Job and his circumstances, Jeremiah, the book of Lamentations, Paul himself, the great champion of the New Testament, Paul and all the letters he wrote, depressed at times. About you, these people felt depleted, defeated, despondent, even beyond hope. They felt beyond hope. So as we think about this, as we talked about some of the sources, if we're living a carnal life, if we're living to our own self-indulgence, and things that don't appear to be even self-indulgence, they're just the works of the flesh, the carnal things. God says, no, they're not in the range of our functionality. We don't function with that. If we're outside this realm, it's bad. I can't explain why certain things are bad except there's absence of God, but he said this is good if they're outside of this window. Let's put them out. There's anxiety, revelry, idolatry, and all these things. They don't belong. Just trust him, even if we can't explain it. Response to trial. How do we respond to difficulties and trials in life? You know, that's important. To be able to overcome them. To also realize that they're good for us. That pain, that difficulty is helpful. And we're going to talk about that. We'll tie that more of this stuff in next week because it's really incomplete. We're talking about trying to stay focused on the depression side into the functional realm. And we're going to carry over from functional into addictive. Right, we're going to get there, but also having a proper perspective of ourselves. So trials, anxiety, complaining, those kind of things. The difficulties in life are good. And there are ways that we can, and we are going to spend a lot of time on that, how to deal with trials, because the reality is we all have trials. And they are difficult on us, but how do we respond to it? And I got some things next week in particular that we're going to talk about. I think it'll help. I hope it's helpful. I hope it means something to you. So we're going to go there because that's a big part. Because the reality is, when I have a bad day or a bad time or something bad going on, donut kind of tastes pretty good. And then a bowl of ice cream. And then there's indulgence. There's coping mechanisms. Coping mechanisms. But remember this. It's not all about coping. It's about conquering. And so there is a theme, or there is a thought I want us to take. We're going to get to that one, actually. So, did you realize that we talked about that, the negativity in life? Ain't that big? Ain't that big? How much? Now, I'm not saying we don't self-evaluate ourselves properly. If I got something that's not right and there's things I need to work on, I acknowledge that. But I don't live in it. I rise above that. I have hope. I have a goal. I have objectives. I know where I'm going. I know somewhat of how I'm getting there. And that's all part of keeping it positive. When at times we may be negative, we may have, our challenges may overwhelm us, right? So how do we respond? How do we treat these circumstances? That's important. We don't want to respond negatively to these things. And we don't want to live in that negative environment, that complaining and that anxiety and those kind of things are all, they're basically cancers, aren't they? They are cancers. They'll suck us in. And they'll pound us in the ground, and sometimes it takes a while to dig out of that hole. And like my friend says, sometimes you just gotta, you dig a hole until the walls cave in and you can finally crawl out kind of thing. It happens. These are some solutions. These are some ways to get around. It is a mindset. We can't avoid all trials. We can't. We've had this mindset, and I kind of see it historically. We've had a mindset for a few generations now that difficulty is bad. I want to give you all the good stuff in life. I want to set you out with good things, and I'm going to do it for you. Because you know what? Life was hard. And don't we want to protect our children from hardship? We don't want our children to endure some of us we had to endure. Solution is, though, is not to withdraw them from it, is to help them through it. We don't get there by giving people, our children in particular, do we all relate to that? We don't do that, but we can't fix our children's problems, as it were. We can't hand them the good life. They literally do have to earn it. They have to live it. They have to experience it. And we've had this mindset that difficulties are bad, and I'm just going to shield and protect you from everything in life. And that is not the biblical way. The biblical way is to learn our way through trials, not just to avoid. Now, there's some things we maybe can't avoid. And that's okay. That's good. We can't avoid them all. We're taught that going through trials helps us. It builds us. It strengthens us. Ain't that what we taught in gym class? What happens when you work out weights? You get stronger, don't you? Does it hurt the next day?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it does. You worked out too much, by the way. You're not supposed to work out that much. A little bit of pain is okay. No, that's cool, but that's right. It does hurt. There, at the end of pain is our strength. What did James 1 say? I know our society, it's my perception. If you don't hold that perception, then bear with me. Our society is founded upon indulgence. Nothing that's difficult, nothing hard. James 1, 2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Consider it joy when you encounter trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. We have to find our way through. It strengthens us. And yes, we don't have to be a Solomon and try everything in the world to learn that it's not good for us. But we in this life, our purpose is to learn our way through trials, not just around trials. And I think we overuse this because we want to go around trials. I don't want to be hot day. There is this idea of heat and cold exposure affects our bodies and how our bodies function. And until our generation, everybody lived outside, right? You lived in the elements. We are not the same today because we don't live in the elements. And that's actually a negative thing. And I'm going to tie that in next week. When we talk about addiction, we talk about the other side of things, because actually, you might have heard of cold exposure. Get a cold bath. That jumps your adrenaline. And not for a few seconds, for hours. Now, I'll tie that in next week. I went running Friday. I got to tell you this. I went running Friday. You know what Friday happened on Friday? Cold. It was rainy. I went for a run and I loved it. I enjoyed every minute of it. My adrenaline was through the roof and it was great. It was up here on this end of the spectrum. This was good stuff. I was also listening to music. Even good. Right? So, bottom line is, trials are not bad. They are good for us. And we are consumed the easy way, the fun way, the least obstacles, and I am there. There's a few areas that I enjoy the effort. I enjoy the struggle. I can dig into it and just thrive off of it like running Friday. But I also know, man, there's things I don't want to do. I'm going to avoid it at all costs if I can. So the mindset, trials are good, right? It's not always easy. It's not always fun. There are results on the other side of effort. There are results on the other side of pain that we need to get to. And if we're in a depressed state of mind, we're not able to get through that. We have to get through that thing. So we got to realize and put that in a proper perspective. And so I'm using conquering mechanisms. This is just off-the-shelf doctor's advice. Sleep, food, sunlight, movement. Now, which one of those things is not found in the culture that existed the Bible was written to? If you don't sleep enough, you're going to be depressed. You're not going to be able to perform. If it's just a matter of lack of energy, but it's not just that either. You can't perform. You can't do things without these things. God designed us, even sunlight in the morning. That changes how our day gets started. Right? Even just movement. Just movement matters. If we're dealing with depression, these are easy. I kind of like sleep. Y'all like sleep? I've got a pretty good relationship with sleep. How about food? Well, we're going to talk about that some more next week. Sunlight. I'm okay with sunlight. It gets kind of hot, but no, it's good for us. I like movement. God designed our bodies to excel with this. So let's go on. Oh, we talked about work. Go back and look at our lesson on work just a few weeks ago. Work is a good thing. And I always caution parents, don't use work as a punishment. It's not punishment. This is good. Right? It gives us fulfillment, purpose, guidance, direction. You know, if you're having trouble with structure in life, go get a job. They'll tell you when to come and when to go. If you need that structure, they will give it to you. Won't they? Work. Remember our lesson on work. That's a biblical concept. God designed us to work. He told us to work. Absence of work even leads to sin. It's not just that it's just not good. It's also sinful. And there's sinful acts that result from that. All right. It's God's gifts. What is our gift? What is our ability? Explore life. I have a second cousin, basically, at our reunion, was talking to. She asked me about, preaching, what are you here? What my special gifts were, what I thought my gifts were. I don't know, I'm kind of not sure, but. And she's like, I just feel like I need to figure out what my purpose is, what my ability is. What is it? I don't know. Explore. Develop it. Utilize it. Again, you have worth, you have value. God gave it to us in Romans 8. And explore it. And so all that ties into dealing with conquering, not just coping with, but conquering a depressed state, a depressed condition. Lifting ourselves up out of, getting ourselves up, allowing ourselves to live in a functional area in life that God designed. Physical activity. Again, ties in work. Until recent era, work was outside and you just do anything. You carried water. We just have all these easy. If you went somewhere, you had to walk. If you raised crops, you did all this physical activity. The Bible was, that's who the Bible was written to. Rest? Remember we tied that in, didn't we? We must rest. We go too hard, we're going to dump ourselves in the hole. We got to stop, sit back, and take time away from what is often a very dominating part of our life. God said, step back. Take a break. Take a break. One anothering. The lessons we've been tying up, I know that's not English, proper English. Our relationship together, even the psychologist and the physiologist, all those people, you need friends in life. You need, we do not function well alone by ourselves, one another. And that's why it's so important that we do encourage one another. Our culture here is one where we can grow and be edified together and work together. And build each other up and not tear ourselves down. Our job here is not to put people in depression, but to lift us all up into a functional area about serving Jesus and discipling Jesus and the good things in life that He's designed for us. This will come up next week, again, because there are aspects of this that exist on the opposite end. Remember, I said this is all on the same line. It's all on the same road. Depression and an addiction, and in between here are some great and wonderful things, and some of those things happen right here. Some of those things happen right here. Singing, music, and singing. Good things in life. When God says sing, sing. Sing these words. It is an encouragement. It's something He designed, and our bodies respond well to that. When I told you I had music when I was running, that was just a little bit extra ump. As I was running, you got those songs when they come on, you just hear it. Like, oh yeah, makes you feel good. You know that song? Well, singing lifts us up. If you don't participate in singing, there's a great blessing in that. Of course, great song selection as we had this morning. Good songs that encourage us, or maybe challenge us even. Confession. Again, another thing. When you struggle with something, talking about it with others helps to lift us up out of that struggle. You got to have people you trust. Are they your church family? It's unfortunate. Sometimes they're not. We want to live in a realm where we look to God and go to God, and sometimes we don't have cultures that that's safe. But we need that. That can be our goal. The whole idea of social interaction. If you're feeling down, you talk to a friend, and man, they just pent me up. I feel good. Just talking to a friend. You're struggling. Our social interaction is important. It matters to us. Conquering the Spirit-led life. Not just eliminating the things of the flesh, but also putting on and having the product of the Spirit-led life. It matters. The fruit of the Spirit is where we want to be. It is the good life. It is, depression does not exist there. And we want to do that. God is the answer to anxiety and the answer to so many of these things. Pray to God. Prayer. Let Him have it. Give it to Him. Give your troubles and trials to Him. Yeah, there are hard things in life. Yeah, there are difficult things in life. Some of them we can avoid. Some of them we have to find our way through and be strengthened through those things. But all along, God's there. He can help us. Finally, I was going to show you this. When I told you I reverse engineered this, this is exactly what I reverse engineered. This is my mind. I'm a math guru. I like math. I'm an engineer. When I said it on the same path, basically our adrenaline dopamine system, that is what this is. If you're depressed, it's because your dopamine's in a hole. If you don't feel good, if you're moping around, all these things I talked about with depression, bring that, elevate that up to a functional area. If you're an addict, you ever heard this about addicts, the most severe addicts? They're chasing that next high. They got the, and that's what happened to Jason Grimstead. He chased it and chased it. He was using the drugs that had been injected intravenously. And the problem is when you get that high is about that fast and it goes away, and now you want the next one again. And you keep running up this curve here, and at the end of that, is it sends you right back to where you started with depression. And it just, it's a sinister thing that it feed off of it. You're depressed, you want something to cope. Well, I know that shot of coke got me up here, or meth. So you're chasing. The only thing is, there's no recovery from that. There is no recovery from that. It leads right back to depression. Now, that's a particular cause of depression. All these other things are too. So we're going to talk about the other side of this, and then there's this functional area. You know what? God gave us things up here on this curve. I can tell you one right now, and everybody in here would agree, and we have kids, but intimacy. That's way up here. God ordained that. He said, this is good. This is for man, and I'm giving him this. It's over here. So before you think, well, we're all supposed to be monks and we're supposed to live down in a cave and we're not supposed to get out and we're just going to fast all the time and we're never going to do, you know, God gave us something good. He did. But we have to balance it. The sinister thing about this scale is when you run up this side of the scale, you will fall off that side of the scale. So we're talking about as we live in a society of indulgence, we want coping mechanisms. We want resolutions to what don't feel good. We want it right now. The further you run up this scale, the further you dive off that end. And that's the way that scale works. So, addiction to drugs is one of the things that drives depression. God designed us to live in this little area. And I introduced a bunch of things today. And you know what? When we talk about the things over here that drive us to addiction, we're going to point right back to those same things. We got to work ourselves, whether it's from depression or addiction, we work ourselves into the middle. There's a functional life God has designed for us, and I knew this would be long, and Charlie done great. Yay, Charlie. Yes. Life's good. I don't know if you know this about me, but when I preach, and I talk about instruct things, I'm up here. If you ever see me kind of not really talking a lot, even moping, I am, every once in a while. Sometimes I'm just tired or depleted. I'm down here. Because when I'm up here, I thoroughly enjoy what we do here together. And thoroughly enjoy what I get to do. That don't mean that I'm always on top of the world, but every Sunday morning I am. And I hope you are in some way with what we do together. Because we sing together. And our singing is up here. Talking to one another about our problems. It's up here. Talking about our life. Sharing ourselves with each other is over here. It's good stuff. It's the sugar, the bread and butter. It's the jam of our life. And our perception of these things matters. God says, treat it right, treat it good. This is good, believe it. And you'll benefit from that too if you don't already. We want this to be a place where you do benefit from those things. We want this to be a place that is a joy and where we are on this journey together in our lives, discipling Jesus to get to the end where he showed us the way of heaven eternally. Are you on that path? We want you to be on that path today. If not, we... We encourage you to be baptized and have your sins washed away. And if you are and you're struggling, and I'll apologize, I'll confess now, I apologize, it's a long lesson, and I thought it was going to be, and I know it's challenging, and some folks had to leave, and I'm sorry about that. I hope it's beneficial. It is recorded, it'll be on our website, and I will gladly share with you the sources of a lot of the reverse engineering I did on this, because quite honestly, I was astonished. I was like, they are teaching biblical concepts, and they have no clue. They don't know. They're not religious people. They are atheists. They believe in evolution. And they taught what I converted this into Bible language. And we're going to delve into it deeper next week. We're going to delve into it deeper next week. We're talking about addiction. Because it's all coming back to the middle, where the good life is, where God designed us to live. We can help you anyway. Won't you come while we stand and sing our songs?